On November 21, 2015, Rockland poet Kendall Merriam visited WRFR studio and read three poems and the introduction to his 2010 work Medved's Journal. The reading starts with the just written Bear Dance, a poetic tribute to Merriam's longtime friend, the late Gunnar Hansen. This is followed by a reading of Hansen's introduction to Merriam's book Medved's Journal, is entitled Medved Dances. Next, an open poem to Isis, written in Thomaston in 2015, followed by At the Cafe, written in Paris in 2013. Ron Huber of WRFR was host.
Hello there. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you very much for being invited. One of my best friends, a gentleman named Gunnar Hansen, died a couple of weeks ago. He and I and another friend named Stephen Petrov called ourselves the Three Bears, and we would do poetry readings together. And so about the time, I didn't know this, but about the time he was dying, I wrote a poem for him. And so I'll read that first, and then I would like to read something that he wrote for one of my books called Medved's Journal. Medved is a Russian word for bear. I guess it's Medved. And the foreword to that book Gunnar wrote, and it's better than the rest of the book. It's a very, very sweet piece, and it certainly shows you that he's not really the Texas Chainsaw Murderer, which everybody knows him as, in the film. He played Leatherface. Okay, I'll read Bear Dance for Gunnar and Betty. I saw you in a dream, nightmare, so many of the polar tribe losing out to the failure of ice fields, opening out to water melt, no longer up to catching seals. You have led a life of books and thrillers, gentle to some scary, to open the mind, auspicious, films for the first people here in Maine, a book of the islands of the south, not averse to good food, wine, music, reading, sailing, driving 7 hours in a snowstorm, from the Pine Street Cafe Poetry Workshop. Would Medved, father and son, ever been birthed to this world of humans, as some of us few bears are? For some reason, rich Koreans pay $30,000 for a full clan member for what the fools think they will have better sex. Maybe you will travel to a better place of clear streams, salmon, eat seals in winter, and not have to worry about worrisome deadlines. And so I wrote that at home, 11/7/15 at 10:09 p.m., listening to Django Reinhardt, 1935 to 1937.
Well, this sounds fresh out of your head there.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Now, my book, Medved's Journal, was the first chapter Gunnar published many years ago. And then over the next 15 years, I wrote 4 more chapters. And Gary Lawless of Blackberry Press published it as a book. But the introduction is by Gunnar. And I don't think it will be too long, but it does give the gentle side of Gunnar and other bears. Medved Dances. I met Medved in 1981. Kendall introduced us. He was living in a small Russian community in Maine, just up the hill from Kendall, close to the Russian Orthodox Church. I don't know whether he was a Russian himself, but he fit right in. Mostly, though, I remembered that Medved was something of a bear. And that, I think, is why he and Kendall were so close. They shared a bear's sensibilities, a fondness for berries and certain music, which each of them played on his phonograph in the afternoons. And they shared a birthday, enjoying most to celebrate it with a midwinter picnic in the woods with lobster and egg salad and donuts, which were Medved's favorite. On these picnics, Medved would dance. There are bears out there who learn to dance in captivity, two steps forward and one back, to amuse children and their mothers and to move them to drop coins in the bear's tin cup. Even when these bears are freed, it is said, they continue to dance for years, two steps forward, one step back, some part of them still captive. But Medved dances because he is free. For all their closeness, Kendall and Medved are different. Kendall is interested in Mongolian history, Medved in Russian art. Kendall wrote a lot, and he wrote well. Medved did not write so well. Kendall stuck close to home. Medved would wander. He especially liked to go from shop to shop in his village. This bakery had the best donuts, he would say. That restaurant, the best blueberry pancakes. He would share this information with Kendall, for Kendall always appreciates honest food, especially if it has berries in it. Though the two men shared a liking for good food, Kendall was the real cook. He was famous among his friends for his brownies and his coffee and his berry pies, and for the slow, careful way that he measured and mixed in his ingredients, never in a hurry, always savoring the time it took to cook something right. Sometimes Kendall's house was something of a bear hotel. We few bears would gather, Kendall, Medved, and Stephen Rock, a sophisticated urban bear from southern Maine, and I. We would eat those scones with jam, and we would talk. But when bears talk, they talk of food, which we did when our mouths were not full. But we also talked about writing, for Kendall was a genius among bears. At times, he would read a new poem to us, and rarely one of us would gather the courage to read aloud something of our own. Kendall is unique in that he does not write on a computer. He is the last writer in America to use a typewriter. He has a lovely old Smith Corona Model 12, which his wife, Phyllis, bought for him in 1970 for $125, and which he nurses along. So when Kendall writes, an uncommon silence surrounds him. There is no whine of hard drive spinning, no beep from some febrile program, only the quiet, reassuring tap of his keys. Because of all his writing talent, because of his love for berries and his Smith's Corona, because of all those things, and because Medved did not write so well, when it came time to write Medved's journal, Kendall was the man to do it. Medved sat down in Kendall's kitchen one day and said, "You're the man to do it." Then Medved said, "Could I have another piece of that berry pie?" And so Kendall came to write Medved's journal. It is a great, great book filled with Medved's wry humor and his deadpan way of sneaking in a joke or a bit of irony with his sweetness, if one may say that, of a bear. Kendall writes and with moral honesty, and he has caught Medved's digressive mind, allowing an idea that pops into the end of a paragraph to dance off somewhere else for a while. I know that when Kendall read Medved's rendering of his life, he did a little dance, two steps forward and one step back, to celebrate. Eventually, Kendall moved back to his family's old home on the Maine coast. It overlooked Snow Shipyard, now long abandoned, in a quiet cove with the magnificent name of the Head of the Bay. It was only natural that Medved would soon follow. He moved into the house next door. Kendall laid plywood down in his attic and tacked sheetrock over the rafters of his new old home so he could have a room of his own to look out of on the ocean, as he writes. He has scattered sand on the floor in case Medved wants to dance. On summer evenings when the air is just so and the light is just so, Kendall opens the window and writes while Medved dances his shuffling dance across the room. People stop outside as they walk their dogs. They listen. They know that Medved is dancing. It is peaceful in that moment, the light dissolving into blue tissue with the sea on one side and Kendall and Medved dancing on the other. They like the sound, a steady clicking, as if time were in no hurry. Gunnar Hansen.
One thing you mentioned, which I thought fascinating, Mongolian history, the Russian Orthodox churches, which, as far as I understand, the Russian Orthodox churches have their wonderful shapes from those that fled from Constantinople up there and brought them with them.
Yeah. Well, there was a Romanov princess living two houses up from me, and we didn't see her very... She didn't live there in the winter, but she lived there in the summer. And one time I was at a friend's house, and he had a bottle of Newfoundland Screech black rum, and I drank about one of the few times I've ever been drunk, but I drank about two-thirds of a bottle in an hour. And so my friend had to hold on to me going back to my house. You know, he was afraid I'd fall. And as I was walking or stumbling by Princess Vera Romanov's house, I yelled out, "Princess Vera, KGB, Princess Vera, KGB," which, of course, is the Russian secret police, which is certainly she wasn't. But I was so drunk, I said, and I threw up for 2 days.
Well, there's her revenge. But Mongolian history, too, is amazing for me, just because I remember there was an effort between the Greeks and the French to have an alliance with the Mongols to wipe out the Islam. It didn't happen, of course, and one of those things was the top Mongol died, and, of course, the generals there had to rush off and make sure their claim was staked, I guess, and that was that. But tell me, that makes me think of the Middle East. Do you have another poem with you?
I do, actually, that I wrote on the 19th. While Phyllis and I, my wife Phyllis and I, were at Highlands Cafe, a poem that had sort of been in my head was coming in, and the poem was called White Tiger Moon. So I took two sheets of that. On the back, it was blank, and I wrote this poem called An Open Poem to Isis. And probably most of you know by now who Isis is. It's the radical Muslims in Syria and other places in the Middle East. And so this is what I said to them. An open poem to Isis. Where I am right now is in a cafe, not unlike Paris, except the musicians are not wealthy, nor the audience. The man up now is funny, God's favorite way of relaxing. Yes, let us talk of God, yours, mine, and everybody else's. You kill in your misinterpretation of the Quran. I have no idea what drives you. Young men and women, mostly young, are shooting, exploding, because it is so easy with Kalashnikovs, Nobel dynamite, and cell phones. Today I bought a violent book, The Autobiography of Rudolf Hess. Do you know him? Or is your historical knowledge deficient? He ran Auschwitz and Birkenau, killed more than you ever will. I love art and archaeology. They show the brilliance of humankind. What the hell gives you the right to destroy these artifacts of beauty? Do the madrasas teach any time of the goodness of ordinary people in every land? I do know the United States is guilty of millions of deaths. I try to work against this with poetry, something you may consider a weak read. Forgetting Rumi, Liebei, Mayakovsky. Don't you think that everyone should celebrate life, not death? Don't you think everyone should have the right to be happy? Do you realize that we meet in the temples we all have within us and find a peace with no weapons and live in peace with love for all? And so I wrote that at the Highlands Cafe, 11/19/15, 8:45 p.m., listening to a pleasing collection of musicians.
That's Kendall Merriam, and our inaugural emeritus poet. And where can people get a copy of Medvedev's journal?
Well, you can get it at Houston Tuttle, but they carry my books. I'll just read one more, which also reflects on Paris, but I wrote it in 2013. It's called At the Café. Sitting in the sun, sipping café au lait, slowly devouring a croissant, touching your partner's foot accidentally under the table, a lovely little shock. This is how all Paris lovers begin. Is there music of a fiddler and accordionist? How can life be better? This moment might be the highlight of your life. You want it to go on forever, but as the plates pile up, you know, neither of you has the money to prolong this joy, this heat. So you both stand and, holding hands, wander down the street, away from perfection. Clouds brush the sun, cooling cobblestones. You are looking into a giant future of giving, painting, loving. But time after time, your mind returns to that instant when your soul was with God and how you were blessed in a Paris cafe.
You were listening to Rockland poet Kendall Merriam, reading a selection of his works, including the introduction by the late Gunnar Hansen to Merriam's book Medved's Journal. Medved's Journal is published by Blackberry Books of Noble Borough, Maine.